Well, if you have your Bible tonight, would you open to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 27? The book of Proverbs tonight in chapter number 27. I mentioned to you last week that I wanted to spend a couple of weeks to talk about missions and service. And so I covered missions last week as we considered Matthew chapter number 10. And this week I want to talk about service. And I wanted to show you Proverbs 27, just one verse tonight, Proverbs 27, verse number 18. Chapter 27, verse 18. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. Again, whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. Now, as we think about the words of Solomon here, we think about the book of Proverbs, we understand that the book of Proverbs is full of truisms or commonplace statements, proverbial statements, axioms, rules, observable facts. All the things that are here are wonderful truths that help us along in life. Many things here that are common among humanity and have existed among humanity. And one of the things that we see here is that Solomon is commenting on a typical relationship in this world, and that is that of a master and a servant, a master and a servant. And here we're seeing from this particular proverb the rule or the fact that a diligent or a faithful servant will be honored by his master. In other words, there's reward for diligent labor and for loyal service to a master. That's certainly true in a temporal realm in terms of earthly relationships between a master and a servant. Now, as we look at the Bible as a whole, we come to understand that as Christians, we are in this type of relationship with the Lord. The Bible clearly teaches that He is the Master and we are His servants. And so I want to make application tonight of Solomon's proverb here with that particular relationship in mind. Not just a relationship to some earthly master, but our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, Him being the master and we being the servants. And so I want to give you four thoughts tonight, just sort of hang your hat on. I want to talk about our master. I want to talk about our privilege, our service, and our reward. Maybe you can remember those four things. Our master, our privilege, our service, and our reward. In the first place tonight, let's think for just a few moments about the one who is our master. And of course, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful contemplation tonight, just to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many wonderful things that we could talk about, so many passages of Scripture, so many places that we could go to highlight different elements and different things about the Lord Jesus. And so I picked just a couple of things here for us to think about as it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first place, think about His glorious person. I've marveled often in the Gospel of John at chapter 1, verse number 14, at this statement, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen," here's the statement, "we have seen His glory." Isn't that wonderful? "We've seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so glory, when we think of glory, we're thinking about a weightiness. We're thinking about something that takes our breath away. And that's what we're supposed to think about when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. The disciples thought that way in their time that they spent with Him on the earth. They were in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here part of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in the fact of His grace and His truthfulness. The Lord Jesus Christ was gracious and He was always telling the truth. And anytime you even run into a fallen human being that has any measure of grace about them that they extend to you or to others, and when they tell you the truth or share true things, you come to appreciate someone like that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who did that in its greatest degree. He is the person full of grace and full of truth. These are just some basic characteristics that the Bible revealed to us about the Lord Jesus. But it's that which makes Him weighty. It's part of what makes Him glorious. So we think about the person of Christ. Also, we think about the work of the Lord Jesus. We go to the Scriptures and we see His amazing act of service, really, towards us. He said about Himself that He came into the world not to be served, but to serve. Amen. And to give up His life as a ransom for many. And so when we think of Jesus, you've heard me say this before, but one of the ways that we can summarize His work is to think about His active and His passive righteousness. We think about the fact that Christ came into the world and lived as no other human being could live. He lived perfect before God, under the law of God, never violating any of the ways of God, the commandments of God, not in thought, word, or deed. And then He goes to the cross and He gives up His life as a ransom, as a substitute, as a provision for sinners. And so the perfect life of the Lord Jesus was laid down at the cross to make atonement and to be the sacrifice. He's God's provision of righteousness for sinners. And so He's full of grace and truth. We think of the glory of His person, and then we stand back as we think of our Master. And we think about what He did for us to secure the relationship with Him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ made this amazing trade. We sing it in songs, His robes for mine. We think about it in other passages of Scripture. God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely amazing. And then we think about Jesus from the standpoint of Him being a king. A master, a lord, a sovereign, a king. And so we think about Christ in that regard. And I often think about the passage in Romans chapter number 14, verse 17, where it speaks about some of the elements of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are important words. Righteousness and peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we think about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. We think about what He's doing in the world as He's calling a people to Himself. And we think about His ways. We think about the realm in which we live as the people of God. And we see these elements that coming to know the Lord Jesus and seeing what He does, it's all about righteousness and peace and joy. And we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of God teaching us so many amazing things. And then also, as we think about Christ, we come to understand that He has a cause in the world, doesn't He? We've been talking about that. We talked about that some last week as we considered the mission of God, being participants in the mission of God. And of course, the primary passage where we think of those things is, of course, Matthew 28. I'll not read it. I even hinted to it last week. But we were told as the people of God that we're to go into all the world and make disciples. And so Christ has a cause. He has a rescue mission for people in the world. Do you think about that? Do you think about the fact that what's going on in the world today is a rescue mission that's going to the ends of the earth? And so when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, before He did, He gave this charge to His disciples to go into the world and preach this truth. Go to the ends of the earth and tell people about Me. Why is that important? Because there's people in darkness, people living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And we have the glorious message of our Master and of our King, this message of salvation. And so when we put all of this together, we think about the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the cause of Christ. All of that builds a case for the fact that there's no better master than the Lord Jesus. He is our master. He's so gracious. He's so wonderful. He's so loving. He is so kind. He is so powerful. He is so mighty. He is our chief ruler. He is our master, and He is our king. And as Christians, oh, how happy we should be. And I pray that you are happy tonight as we think about belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on the heels of that, we should think about the fact that we are in a very privileged position to our Master. So we think about our Master. Now we think about the high privilege that it is to be numbered among His servants. Isn't it a wonderful thought tonight to think of the fact that you are a servant to this great Master, to this great King? Think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. Yeah. We think of the plan of the gospel, and what is it that happens in the gospel? God takes sinners and He turns around and makes them sons who then are to serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? What a purposeful life. To give your life to serve other people and to help other people. It's an amazing position that we're in. I mean, there was even a thought of God redeeming sinners. I mean, that's just mind-blowing, isn't it? When you think about who you are, you think about what you were in your natural condition, you think about humanity as a whole after the fall, how man fell into sin and corrupted himself and fell into ruin and misery, and that God would even take thought of the lives of you and me. It really is an amazing thing to think about the privilege that we have as Christians, even in the fact that there was this redeeming plan. We dwell on that. We think of the mind of God. We think of His love and His kindness and His eye towards us. I mean, a wonderful plan of redemption. A plan that was planned by the Father. We see and we understand that before the foundation of the world. Isn't that staggering? The Bible says that. Before the foundation of the world, God already had you in mind. What an amazing truth. That God had thought about all of this. And He has great pity upon His people. And then motivated by love, sends the Lord Jesus to come into the world to accomplish that plan of redemption at such a high price, in that He had to lay His life down in order to carry out the plan of Almighty God. And then that day came in your life when you heard the message of the gospel, when the Holy Spirit got to poking around in your life and prodding around in your mind and your heart, showing you that you were a sinner, showing you that you needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit began to work in your life with great power. And so you became a child of God. And all of this plan together, when you just stand back and you think about it, it'll blow your mind. Amen. Just go home tonight and read Ephesians chapter number 1. And you'll just have hours of contemplation and meditation. I highly encourage you to do that. And so what is it that I'm saying? I'm just trying to get you to think on the fact tonight that we have a wonderful Master, and we've been placed in a privileged position, this advantageous position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are servants to an amazing and a wonderful King. It's a privilege that has been granted to us and given to us, bestowed upon us. It's something that's been graced to us. You know, here tonight as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand that's a grace? That's a kindness of Almighty God. You know, a lot of times people don't think of it as anything great to be a servant, because it's hard work, it's difficult, and all the rest, to die to self and serve other people. But for the Christian, when you understand who your Master is, and you know that He did that for you, and He employs you in His service to lay your life down of sorts, to go and serve and help other people and share the gospel and all the rest, you begin to see that that's a gracious thing. That you're privileged to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Just to be a servant, just to be a doorkeeper in His house is an amazing privilege. And we need to think about that tonight. And so He sought us out and we surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are in this amazing position. We don't have to worry about our standing because this position is an irreversible position. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? If you're really saved tonight, you never lose that salvation. If you really know God, if you've really been brought into a relationship, you belong. He will hold you fast. You belong to Him now and throughout all of eternity. Nobody can pluck you out of His hand. I mean, once He saved you, once He brought you in, you've been brought in. You're there. You're there. Isn't that amazing? We need assurance tonight, don't we? Assurance, and where do we get that assurance? Well, we don't get it by looking to ourselves. We get that assurance by looking away from ourselves and looking to what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thought. When God sets His loving gaze upon somebody and pursues you and sticks you with the Holy Spirit and brings you to Himself and shows you the glory of Christ, that's a position that's not ever going to change. What an amazing truth. We have a wonderful Master, don't we? And we are in an amazing, privileged position tonight. All right, my third thought. We need to give thought tonight to the service that we are to give to the Lord. We've talked about the Master. We've talked about the privileged position that we are in. And we need to think about the service that we are to render to the Lord. I want you to go back to the text in Proverbs chapter 27 and look at it one more time. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, And he who guards his master will be honored. Now you ought to mark in your Bible two words there. Tend. That's an important word. Whoever tends a fig tree. And the other word is guard. Tend and guard. And from those two words we can deduce that that's our business as servants of God. We're to serve. We're to keep. We're to wait on. This is the conduct of a servant. Maybe we could say it this way. Our business is to look after and tend to our master's business. That's what it means to be a servant. We've been given a stewardship. We've been given an opportunity to serve the Lord. And as we serve Him, our primary business ought to be about His business.
Amen.
And so we have to tend to it and we have to guard it. So think about some of the ways in which you can carry out these particular tasks. Well, certainly, let me just give you a list of things to think about tonight. I think one of the primary ways in which we serve the Lord is by being loyal to Him.
Yeah.
Loyal. There should be a high premium on loyalty. That's a lost characteristic, I think, in many regards today. Think of all that Christ has done for you. That's why I talked about all of those things as we began, because we need to understand what our response to His love ought to be. And if He's done all of this for us, then we need to be loyal. We need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is we submit our lives to the Word of God. As Christians, beloved, this book should rule your life.
Amen.
You need to be in the book often. You need to submit your mind to it. You need to gather all that you can gather from the preaching and the teaching of the Word, from the reading of the Scripture, from the listening of it, to reading books and everything else that speaks about and expounds and teaches the Word of God. You need to avail yourself to every opportunity, and you need to listen to it, and then you need to follow up that listening with obedience to the Word of God. That's one of the ways that you're loyal to God, is you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, and then the servant stands at attention and is ready to obey the orders that he is given. And so this is one of the ways that we serve the Lord, just by being submissive to His Word and caring about what He has to say as He speaks into our lives.
Yeah.
Now, another way that we serve the Lord is that no matter what we go through in life, no matter what our lot might be, whatever circumstance we might be in, that we are constantly trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, listen, He has done so much to show us that He is trustworthy. He's worthy to listen to. He's worthy to follow. He makes promises, and they are certain promises. He never lies. He cannot tell you a lie. He will never do wrong that way. And so how is it in our lives, if He's such a truth teller, if He's so honest with us and gives us His Word and puts His stamp on it, doesn't it stand to reason that we should completely trust Him? And isn't it really a smack in His face when we somehow think and believe the lie that, well, I don't know if I can trust Him in regard to this particular thing. Maybe I can trust in these areas, but I don't know about this particular thing. Oh, beloved, there has to be a full surrender of all of the areas of our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to learn in all seasons, in every circumstance, and everything that happens in our life to completely trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And coupled with that is thinking about His will for your life. And again, back to the things that He's revealed. What is the will of God in all the situations that you face in life? Well, you begin with the revealed will of God in the Word. You submit yourself to that. And then as your life moves on, providential circumstances will begin to reveal to you the will of God for you subjectively as you live your own life. Everybody has to live their own life. Everybody's experience is a little bit different. And the Lord has a way of revealing His will for you particularly and personally. And you have to have the attitude that I always have my ear bent for the voice of the shepherd. And we have the promise of the Word that His sheep hear His voice. So you need to be listening for the voice of your shepherd. Again, primarily through the Word, but then also in other things, in providence, and the speaking of other brothers and sisters into your life. And all of those different things are so very important so that you can submit to His will. Again, believing and expecting that He will do as He has said. He's trustworthy.
Amen.
Another way that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ is by seeking to please Him in all that we do. Now listen, beloved, it's one thing to come to the Word of God and see a command, see a duty, see something that you're supposed to engage in and do that. But one of the motivations that should drive your doing is the fact that you just want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It's all right to be obedient. You should be obedient to everything you see in the Word of God. But as you are demonstrating obedience, you should think about, what's my motivation behind this particular thing? As a parent, you know, I mean, you think about the obedience of your children. Certainly that obedience to you means more when the child does it in response to the desire to please you. All right, mom and dad has told me to do a particular thing. I'm going to work really hard because I want them to be pleased with what I do. So as children of God, it's exactly how we should think about what we do. Every task, everything that we do in our life, every part of the will of God that we find ourselves engaging in, we should desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of our service. A servant should want to please his master. Now, something else I think that's extremely important, we have to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ that the world doesn't really care so much for Christ. I mean, we have verses upon verses that teach us that this world is not too friendly to the Lord Jesus. The first time he was here, they yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Yep. And so it is with his servants. They too will be hated. If he was hated, we'll be hated. We even talked about that some last week. So when that happens in our life, when we begin to see our master and his cause and his ways attacked, there is a responsibility in the life of the Christian to defend our master's cause. Amen. I heard one preacher say one time, who enjoyed in refuting people who would come against the Lord Jesus, he said, "When my master is attacked, the dog barks."
Amen.
Well, that's good, isn't it? It's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
When the master is attacked, we are to respond to that. We go after that and defend the master's cause. And we tell people what the Word of God says as they try to refute it, as they try to put it down, as they try to say, "Hey, Christians are stupid. Christ is stupid. What's the big deal about following this Jewish man? Who cares?" There's our opportunity to come along and defend and hold up the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and his interests in the world. It's part of our responsibility. Again, we serve the Lord Jesus by advancing his cause, by being obedient to the Great Commission. It's another important part of our service. Listen, let me say this to you as well. Every single Christian, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are personally serving the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there's certain things in life that you can delegate and you can have other people do. But service to the Lord Jesus Christ is not one of those things.
Right.
Beloved, you have to carry your own load. You have to carry your own sack, so to speak. Every single one of us must serve the Lord personally. Not try to delegate our responsibilities. You need to think about tonight the unique gifts and talents and things that the Lord has given you to be a benefit to the edification of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, you need to get busy employing that gift.
Amen.
Put that thing to work. And listen, you don't have to be able to put a name on it. You don't have to be able to, you know, particularly identify that thing. People ask me sometimes, "Well, how do I know what my spiritual gifts are?" Well, what are you interested in? What gets you excited? You know, what is that particular thing that just really gets you fired up? Maybe you just like to come in here to the church and vacuum the carpet. And you get excited about that. And you come and clean the church and you whistle hymns while you do it. Praise God!
Amen.
Just do it joyfully. Do you not understand that you'll be rewarded in the same way as the greatest preacher who stands behind one of these pulpits and preaches a sermon?
Yeah.
Faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ of something that fires up your soul. Find out whatever it is and get busy and put that thing into practice so that you'll honor the Lord Jesus Christ and so that you'll be an edification to the rest of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One final thing, and I'll move on here in terms of service that we're to render to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the best ways that you serve the Lord Jesus is by being patient in all things. Patience is a virtue, beloved. And oftentimes there's things in life that come our way that really get under our skin and test our sanctification.
Amen.
And in that moment, the Lord Jesus is trying to... I'm glad I got one amen. You know, The Lord is testing your patience, seeking to build that because it's part of your sanctification.
Yeah.
And so you need to learn to be patient. God has even set up our whole redemption so that we would learn patience. I mean, what is it ultimately that we wait for? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, He saved us, He is saving us, and He will save us.
Right.
The saving plan of God requires patience.
Amen.
And so you take that in the ultimate reality and you boil it down to all of the littler things that you face in life. And listen to me. Here's what you need to do with patience. You need to be patient. And one of the chief marks that your sanctification is really taking place is that you're cheerful in the midst of being patient.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not that you're bearing up and being patient. You got your arms crossed and saying, oh, I can't wait till this is over. It's a cheerfulness about your life that says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though everything around me is giving way, even though this thing is shaken and this thing is shaken, I'm going to go through that. And the attitude of the believer should be, Lord, as long as you go with me through it, everything will be fine.
Amen.
Just don't leave me by myself.
Amen.
You go with me. You hold my hand. You show me the steps and where I need to go. And help me to find my joy and my gladness in you in the midst of those troubles.
Amen.
Listen, beloved, that's a good test of where your heart's at.
Right.
Oftentimes the Lord will touch you in places in life where you have some secret idols that maybe you didn't really realize that you had. Maybe He touches your finances. Maybe He touches your health. Maybe He touches this thing or that thing or the other thing. And it's going to be revealed really what's going on in the reality of your heart and the reality of your soul. And so we have to learn patience in the midst of trials and difficulties. And as we await the Lord's return, all of the trials and hardships of life. Listen, this is a messy world, isn't it?
Right.
It's affected by sin. I mean, if things are good now, just wait a little while. Something's going to come around the corner and whack you. And you have to be ready for that because it's a fallen world. And we need to learn to be patient in that process and be cheerful. And when a lost world around you sees that, when they see cheerfulness in the midst of difficulties, they recognize that you have something that they don't have. They recognize that no matter how much they might try with the resources of the world, they can't muster up the joy that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they compare their experience in the trial and your experience in the trial, and they say, there's something very attractive about that person.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, what happens is you're obeying what Paul wrote to Titus, that we are to adorn the doctrine of God, the ways of God. You wear those things like a necklace, like a beautiful necklace, a beautiful piece of jewelry that other people see, and they stand back and they marvel and they say, wow, that's really an attractive Christian. Maybe there's something to this Jesus that they're always talking about. Can you think of a better way to serve the Lord Jesus than that? Isn't it amazing to think that the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ would be the happiest people on the planet? And what a testimony to the world that is. By the way, before I move on, one final application about that. Not only is that impactful to a lost world that's watching you, oh, but that's so encouraging to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
When they know you, right? I mean, they're around you all the time. They see things going on in your life. They see you go through some difficulty. And they're watching. And they're looking to see how you handle it. And they're looking for that cheerfulness and that disposition. Now, listen, I'm not talking about a phony baloney kind of putting on and that kind of thing. You can be having a miserable day in terms of, you know, physical pain and difficulties of this life and really be experiencing pain and people can see it. But if you're really joyful, they'll see that shining through all of that. And your brothers and sisters in Christ need that. We need that from one another to have that cheerful disposition and that patience. And listen, Paul says in Romans, all that's going to do is build up your hope. Your solid expectation of future glory, future realities. God works those things in our lives for our good. So as Christians, as servants of the Lord Jesus, we need to render this kind of service to the Lord. One other thing, we need to give thought tonight to the reward that is bestowed upon the one who serves faithfully. I want you to go back to my text. Look in Proverbs 27 again. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. There's a couple of words there in the text. Fruit. There's fruitfulness that comes from this tree. And then this the one who tends to his master's business is going to be honored. So fruit and honor. And you can think of fruit as provision, and you can think of honor as recognition. And these are the things that are in store for the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they're given provisions and they're also given recognition. And beloved, I believe that holds true not only for the future, but also right now.
Yeah.
In this world. The servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't worry about fruitfulness and provisions in our life, about the Lord giving us the things that we need. How many passages of Scripture do we have in the Bible that speaks about the goodness of God to provide for our needs? The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, oh look, don't be anxious about everything. Why are you so troubled all the time about this thing and that thing? Don't you know who God is?
Amen.
I mean, that's what Jesus was saying. What's the matter with you? Why such a low view of God? Do you think somehow that our God on the throne is some impotent, weak God?
That's right.
No, no, no. He has all power, doesn't he? He has all the resources. He has every ability to provide everything that we need. And he does take care of our needs. He does give us what is needful. Listen to me. As you tend to his business, the Lord is going to see to it that you have everything that you need to fulfill your unique task in this world. He's going to give you everything that you need until your journey is over, until he calls you home. And if you don't have it today, you don't need it today.
Amen.
He'll give it to you when you need it. When it's good. When it's a righteous thing. When it's a useful thing. When it's a purposeful thing. He gives His people what they need in due season, beloved.
Amen.
And you can trust Him to do that. As we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, He equips us, doesn't He? He gives us everything that we need. He fits us with what we need to serve Him and complete our task. From here all the way to the grave. And even then at the grave, you don't have to worry because He'll usher you through the black waters of death just fine onto the other side. He'll take care of even that situation. And then in eternity, do you think you're going to lack some necessary thing in eternity? The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of you throughout all of eternity.
Right.
And listen, you know it's all coming from Him because you ain't taking nothing down here up there.
Right.
So whatever you need, He's going to provide it throughout all of eternity. You will lack no necessary good thing, but you will have everything that you need to exist in the eternal situation that God has granted to you.
Amen.
Is that not wonderful? We have everything that we need. There's fruitfulness. There is provision. The text says, whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit.
Yeah.
You tend to your master. You tend to his fig trees and you're going to profit from what's on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, here we see the one who guards his master will be honored. And we're talking about recognition here. You know, I think often one of the great payoffs for us as Christians when we're serving the Lord, perhaps the greatest payoff, is to personally sense the reality that you have the smile of God on what you do. You ever felt that way? You ever engage in something? Let's say that the Lord puts some big burden on your back. You know, you it's just something you've got to do. Like, I've got to go speak to this person, or here's a need over here, and God's given me the money to meet it, and I've got to meet that need, or I've got to speak to this person, I've got to do this thing. And it grows into a burden. Listen, that's how the Lord deals with me.
Amen.
I don't know how He does with you, but that's how it works with me in my life. When I know the Lord's dealing with me, it grows into this compulsion, like this pressing reality upon my soul. This is something that I have to do.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, and you do it cheerfully with the right attitude and all the rest, and you're living that way day to day, week after week, year after year, you begin to sense the approval of God upon what it is that you do. And there's nothing like that in the world.
Amen.
To feel the smile of God upon you. That you know that you're walking in step with the Lord as you ought to be walking. I'm not talking about with perfection. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up. You're going to sin. You're going to do things that you ought not do. But overall, the trajectory of your life, you recognize, you sense, not because of your performance, but because you're walking with God, you begin to sense His approval and His favor upon your life. And that's a wonderful reward.
Amen.
To be recognized in the secret place with God. You just sense His smile. You sense His presence in your life. There's other ways that the Lord rewards us. Again, not just in the future, in eternity, but even in the here and now. Another way that the Lord rewards and gives us honor and even recognition is when He gives us more to do in His cause. You know, I remember when I was a child, my father would give me responsibilities and tasks, you know. And maybe as parents, we don't do this enough. My father was a great example of this, and we should do it more. Maybe you do it perfectly. Maybe it's my own fault I don't do it enough. But my dad would always tell me, you know, he'd give me a responsibility and would connect a reward to that thing. And he would say, if you'll be faithful in this little thing, there will be other things that will come in the future for you that will be a bigger payoff. And what my dad was teaching me there was diligent, honest service and labor and work. And I think that's true in the life of the Christian, in the here and now. That when God opens up a door for you to do something, maybe it's something that most people would consider just some small, insignificant little thing. And maybe even you, when it appears before you, they even think of it as some small, insignificant thing. But as you think about it, even though it's a small task that nobody would think is all that big of a deal, you begin to deduce in your mind, this is an opportunity for me to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And you take action on that. And you do that. And what will happen is if you do that consistently over time, the Lord will begin to trust you with more. Listen to me. He's going to test you before He'll trust you.
Amen.
You want to be entrusted with more? Do exactly what you're supposed to do with the little things, and especially with the stuff that nobody else sees. Recognize it's one who's seeing. Live before an audience of one.
Amen.
How about that? Live before an audience of one and please Him. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Men, at home, let's say your wife is behind on some of the tasks, some of the domestic duties in the home. You've been working and she's at home working and she's taking care of stuff. And maybe the dishes are a little behind or the laundry's behind. Maybe the floor needs vacuuming or something. She hasn't been able to do it. She's wore out. She's been tending the kids and doing all kinds of stuff. Did you know that in that moment, one of the most godly things that you can do is go push the vacuum?
Amen. That's right.
You go push the vacuum and serve your wife. And did you know that God smiles down on that if you're doing that for the glory of God and the good of your wife?
Amen.
You start serving in little ways like that and these little tasks that come up and you will be honored and you will be rewarded with more to do in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Also, the Lord rewards in the here and now often by honoring you among other fellow laborers and servants. Sometimes the Lord will raise people up in the life of the church and they're serving and they're doing certain things and they become a tall oak tree in the life of the church who becomes a blessing to other people and people begin to recognize that. And they have some crisis in their life and they've been watching you and they've seen you grow up and you've grown into such a mature tree that you offer shade for their life now. You even have little children come up to your life and pick fruit off of your life because the branches of your life are so heavy laden with fruit that those apples, so to speak, are so close to the ground that even the little ones can come up and find nourishment at your life. And that's a way that God honors His people, is by causing them to grow up into maturity so that then they become a blessing to other people. God honors us through this purposeful service. Beloved, when you're saved and you begin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, life takes on a whole new meaning of purpose and meaning and joy and delight and all of that. Then, of course, there's that future reward that we often talk about. You've heard preachers talk about it all the time. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
There's the ultimate payoff, isn't it? How amazing to walk through this life and feel the smile of God upon your life and then see Him face to face and then say, way to go.
Yeah.
Isn't that worth everything?
Amen.
You're just a worm. You're just a creature from the dust that rebelled against God in your natural condition. And He had pity on you and He saved you. And then He turned around and clapped for you and said, way to go.
Amen. That's good.
Just a pitiful creature of the dust.
Yeah.
Rotten, wicked, sinful. And then to hear that from the Lord of glory. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. He who guards his master will be honored. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He honors us with capacity to know and to serve the Lord with unhindered acts of worship that will result, listen to me, in an explosion of joy and delight and satisfaction in your life that will eternally endure.
Amen.
How wonderful. Yeah. Beloved, my fellow servants, if we learn anything from the text tonight, anything at all from this teaching tonight, let's make sure that we walk away with the simple lesson that it pays to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you were ever in any doubt about that, let that go to rest tonight from a spiritual application of this observational proverb from Solomon. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored.
Amen.
Listen, here's a question for you. I'm not going to ask you a lot of questions to think about. Let me give you one as a Christian. Here's just one. You take this home and you think about it. Dwell on it a little bit. Don't answer it here tonight. You don't have enough time to really think about it. You need to really think about this. Simple question. Are you serving the Lord Jesus as you ought to? Are you making the most of your time and your talents and your resources, your opportunities, the different things that the Lord has placed in your path? Are you living for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you kind of find yourself sort of robbing from Him, living for your own? Just think about it. How well are you doing? How are you serving Him? Are you serving Him as you ought to? Are you heading in the proper direction? That's what I want to put on your mind. That's what I want you to remember tonight. I want you to think about that. Examine yourself. Examine your service. Think about the high privilege of serving our Master. And just ask yourself the question, how am I doing personally with service to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here tonight, though, as a non-Christian, you haven't been brought into that position of service to the Lord, you need to understand tonight that you're in a horrible plight.
Yeah.
You're in a horrible situation because it's not honor, but everlasting shame and contempt that is in store for any person who's still an enemy of God. In the book of Daniel, in chapter number 12, it says, "And many of those who slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life," listen to this, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt." You need to think about that for yourself tonight. And the message of the gospel is always before you, at least in this church.
Amen.
The message of the gospel, the message of repentance and faith is there, that you can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and willingly surrender your life to Him and serve Him and bow the knee and take refuge in Him. And the promise of Scripture is He will not turn you away.
Amen.
Psalm chapter number 2, verse 11 and 12. Listen to the language. We've been talking about it all night. Serve the Lord with fear.
Amen.
And rejoice with trembling. Listen, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are all who take refuge in Him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the glory of Scripture, the power of Your Word. And Lord, I pray that some of the statements, some of the things that we've mentioned tonight will be fastened to the hearts and the minds of Your people. Lord, that You would drive it in like a good solid nail, holding the truth in place. Lord, so many things here. There's so much that we could think about and profit from if we would dwell on it and really have ears to hear and hearts ready to obey. Lord, I do pray for this church. I pray for Your people, Lord, that we would serve You better and more cheerfully and gladly, and that we would constantly be looking for opportunities to serve. And Lord, it doesn't have to be all of these glorious tasks that look for the applause of men. It can be simple things that are done in secret that nobody even has to know about.
Amen.
And so, Lord, I pray that we'd have that perspective, we'd have that understanding tonight, Lord, and that we would recognize that there's great reward, there's great profit. This is a great way to live life. It's the way to live life, to live in Your service. So we thank You tonight. We thank You, God, for giving Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who is our Lord, our King, our Master, our Savior. Thank You for the great privilege that You've given us of placing us in a relationship with You through the Lord Jesus Christ. And You've made us sons who now can serve. And I pray that we would recognize what our service ought to be and the many different ways in which we can serve You, and that we would constantly keep our eye on the reward and the glory of such a life. And so give your people joy and gladness tonight, Lord. I pray they've been helped. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.